To be in the house of the Lord and in the presence of God's people one more time. It's truly a blessing. It's truly a wonderful thing. And so today I'm going to lift my biblical text from the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'll commence reading at verse number 8 and conclude with verse number 12. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. The word of the Lord declares, O give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. I want to say that again. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Today I want to title this text, Proclaim His Greatness. Somebody shout, Proclaim His Greatness. Proclaim His Greatness. That's the thought I want to leave with you today and that I would like for you to marinate on. All week, proclaim His greatness. Our text from the book of 1 Chronicles is David's list of thanks. It's part of a psalm of thanks David lifted before the people of Israel in celebration of the safe delivery of God's Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. The journey to bring the Ark of the Covenant home had been a treacherous one, and David's first attempt met with failure. And the rough terrain caused the cart over which it was carried to stumble. The man who caught the ark to steady it, Uzzah, was struck dead by God because he had not been properly sanctified to carry God's presence. David decided the trip was too risky to go any further, so he took the ark to the nearby home of Obed-Edom. And there it stayed while David battled the Philistines in the land surrounding Jerusalem. And now the Ark of the Covenant blessed Obed-Edom's house according to the scripture, the location. Now Obed-Edom's house was located between Jerimam and Jerusalem. And the Ark of the Covenant remained at Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And the Lord, the Bible lets us know that the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. The people told David that the Lord had blessed Obed-Edom's family because the ark of the covenant was there. How many know that wherever the presence of the Lord is, there's going to be blessings? And whenever the presence of the Lord is in the house of the Lord, the people of God will always be blessed. The people of God will always have their needs met. Those who are sick and afflicted will always be able to feel the healing touch of God. Why? Because wherever the presence of the Lord is properly, whenever the house of God is properly set up and equipped in order to receive the presence of the Lord, you see, the blessing came because Obed-Edom's house was properly prepared for the blessing. It's so important, my brothers and sisters, that if we want to see the presence of God, that we must have the proper attitude. We must have the proper posture. We must have the camaraderie that is required in order for God's presence to come in the room. We cannot think that just because the temple of God has been named the temple of God, the house of God, we cannot assume that God's presence is here. But it's important that a people who are hungry and thirsty for the presence of God comes into the house of God with a praise and a worship and a devotion and on our lips, ready to receive whatever it is God has for us. And so here it is. Obed-Edom's house was blessed. Why? Because he was expecting the presence of God. And let's look at David's response. David brought the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem with rejoicing. He was excited. He brought Levites to carry the Ark of their on their shoulders and showed respect for it by sacrificing a bull and a fatted calf. In other words, he celebrated. What is your response to the presence of God? What are you going to do when God's presence shows up? What are you going to do? How are you going to reverence God's presence when he shows up? David was excited. His response was a response of excitement. Once victory had been achieved, David put up a special tent in Jerusalem for the ark. He began once again to orchestrate the difficult task of moving the ark to its new home. In other words, you've got to prepare for the presence of God. It's not all about the beautiful edifice. It's not all about the seating and the instruments, but is the presence of God in the tent? This time David made sure that none ought to carry the Ark of the Covenant but the Levites who had been prepared, who were chosen to carry the Ark of God and to minister unto him forever. In other words, they were given this assignment to minister through music to in the presence of God. It was a major task to assemble the chief priests and over 820 Levite descendants. Once they were gathered together, David charged them, saying, "Sanctify yourselves." In other words, set yourself apart for the master's use. Sanctify yourself for the presence of God. Because this time David wanted to please the Lord. This was quite a spectacle, the moving of the ark. There were singers playing on harps and cymbals and lifting their voices with great joy at the instruction of their choir director, Chenaniah, and the chief of the Levites. Then there were trumpeters who blew their warnings at the head of the line. And finally, there was Obed-Edom, who the keeper of the ark, and there was Jehiah, who was a sign as the doorkeepers of the ark. Everybody was in place, on post, doing their job. If we're going to see the presence of the Lord, everyone has to be on post, in place, doing your job, and then and only then will we be able to see the presence of the Lord. Behind them marched the elders, followed by the captains of Israel, there and with their thousands of soldiers. And they brought the Ark of the Covenant to the city of David, Jerusalem, with shouting and with sound of the cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals, making a noise with psaltery and harps, rejoicing to the Lord. And as they entered the city, I imagine there was a great shout among the people as they celebrated this victory. They all shouted, all except for one. The Bible lets us know David's wife, Michal, the daughter of Saul. She looks out the window and sees King David dancing joyfully before the Lord. And the Bible says that she despised him in her heart. She despised him in her heart because she considered his behavior undignified of a king. This is a great story of faith, obedience, and deliverance. David took his faith seriously. And the Lord blessed him to be able to return the Ark of the Covenant. We ought not worry about what people have to say about our praise, about our shout, about our worship. Because how many know that your worship is not for the person sitting next to you? Your worship is for God. In other words, it's an audience of one. I come into the house to bless his name, to worship him, to magnify him, to lift up my voice unto God. You may not like my voice. You may not care for my singing voice, but I come to lift him up. I come to give him praise. I come to shabak him. I come to hallow his name. I come to tell him how great he is. I come to tell him how wonderful he's been to me. He is the great I am. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright of the morning star. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the ladder that ascends and descends. He is my all in all. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I thank God for you, but my praise is not for you. My praise is for an audience of one. It's all about him. I come to lift him up. I come to bless his name. I come to magnify him. Now it was time to celebrate. And the celebration began with prayer, a prayer of thanks. He started with thanksgiving. You got to understand that in this season, it's important that we understand the real reason why we give thanks. We don't give thanks for a turkey. We don't give thanks for pilgrims. We don't give thanks for Native Americans. But we give thanks because we've been born again. We've been purchased with a price. We've been redeemed. Jesus made substitutionary atonement for us. And so we take this opportunity. Yeah, it may be pagan in nature, but we belong to God. And so you want to celebrate with a turkey, but we celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who paid the price for us. So David said, let us give a prayer of thanks. Let us give a prayer of thanks. Why? Because we know in whom we believe. We know in whom we celebrate. And as believers, this season, this is our opportunity to celebrate God all the more. So I ask you the question, what will your prayers include? What will your prayers include? What victories have you experienced with the Lord? Here's what it should include, which brings me to the first point in my message. Point number one, we should give thanks to the Lord for his wondrous works. His wondrous works. It's important for you and I to know that wondrous works in the scripture refers to God's miracles, which are extraordinary. Acts that go beyond human ability. In other words, it's something that is impossible with man, but it's possible with God. All things are possible to them that believe. So let's take a break right now and give God praise for his wondrous work. All the stuff that you've done in my life, all the times you healed my body when the doctor couldn't figure out what to do. God, you miraculously healed my body. I thank you for your miraculous work, for your wondrous works that go beyond human ability. Human doctors couldn't figure it out. Scientists aren't able to figure it out. But you God, you know. That's how David began his prayer of thanksgiving. His prayer of thanksgiving. He charged the people to sing and to speak of all God's wondrous works. You ought to tell somebody that God healed you. You ought to tell somebody that God paid your bills. You ought to tell somebody that God gave you that job. You ought to tell somebody that God gave you a promotion. You ought to tell somebody that God saved your unsaved loved ones. You ought to tell somebody that God is, in fact, a miracle worker. Think of all the wondrous work he witnessed this past year in your own life. As a matter of fact, every now and then you ought to take a flashback. You ought to take a flashback down memory lane and remember the things that God has done for you. Remember the times when you did not know how you were going to make it. You did not know how God was going to do it, but you just somehow, some way, believe down in your spirit that God is going to make a way, that God has got to make the difference, that God has to do it. Look at your neighbor and tell him, won't he do it? Hasn't God kept you? Hasn't God made ways for you? Hasn't God performed miracles in your life? Hasn't God healed your body? Hasn't God made ways out of no way? Hasn't God fed you? Hasn't God clothed you? Hasn't God kept a roof over your head? You owe God a praise. Maybe you finally got that job you've been praying for. Maybe you finally paid off your student loans. Maybe you got that new house you've been hoping for. But whatever your testimony is, it was God. It was God who did it. It was God who made the difference. It was God who made it possible. Whatever wondrous work he performed for you this year, the Lord is good. Why don't you look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, the Lord is good. He's merciful. His mercy endured to all generations. He's been a faithful God. Which brings me to the second point in my message. Point number two, then when we pray a prayer of thanksgiving, we should glory in God's holy name. Is there anybody here who's ever just talked about God's name? You just celebrated his name. His name is holy. His name is almighty. His name is everlasting. His name is wonderful counselor. His name is Prince of Peace. You ought to glory in his name. His name is healer. His name is deliverer. His name is way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. His name is peace, which surpasses all understanding. His name is joy that is overflowing. And that's why he danced. David danced before the Lord when he entered into the city with the ark. That's of what the glory is. When you understand that God has performed something that goes beyond science, that God makes a way for you, it will cause you to dance in the same way that David danced. It's praise on your lips and tears in your eyes. It's waving your hands and patting your feet. It's dancing with joy and thanking the Father, because after all, if Jesus did not do it, it wouldn't be done. You ought to give God praise right there for making ways for you. Praise is adoration, is acclamation, is commendation, is admiration. It's giving God praise for what he's done in your life. It's lifting him up. We should never sit on our praise. How can we glory in the Lord unless we let him unleash the joy of victory within us? In other words, you ought to every now and then give an outward expression of your inward impression. You ought to every now and then, people ought to see you lifting up holy hands and say, God, thank you. You ought to give God a praise when there is no instruments, when there is not a praise team before you. You ought to learn how to give God a praise, because how many know the devil is not going to fight you in church, but he's going to get you through the week. He's going to confront you, and you ought to be able to muster up a praise that will get you the victory. Because God inhabits, look at your neighbor and shout, inhabit. He inhabits the praises of his people.
In fact, you ought to shout glory to God if you thought you'd never make it, but you did. You ought to shout glory to God if you thought God would never heal your body, but He did. You ought to shout glory to God if you thought you'd never see another Thanksgiving season, but you did. You ought to shout glory to God if you thought you'd never pay off your car note, but you did. You ought to shout glory to God if you thought you'd never pay off your mortgage, but you did. You owe God a praise. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I think you're blessed. You look highly favored. I thank you, oh God, of praise. Shout glory to God if you thought you'd never get through another year of trials and tribulations, but you did. Shout glory to God if you thought you'd never dream another dream, worship in another worship service, but God made a way for you. You ought to shout because God's goodness. You ought to shout because of His grace and His love. Which brings me to my third and final point, and I'm closing. Point number three. Then, when we pray this Thanksgiving for all that the Lord has done for us, don't stop there. Ask Him to give you strength for the journey ahead. Is there anybody here who's ever felt as though the devil is just whoop you? You've been through so much this year, and you need to lift up your hands and say, God, give me strength for the journey ahead. That's what David learn how to do after praising God, after celebrating. You've got to remember that you've got to remember to ask God, Lord, give me strength. David said, seek the Lord and His strength. You see, David knew how he got this far. It was by faith in the one who gave him the strength to handle all his trials. And if you never knew it before, after this year of victories, you should always say, God, give me strength for what's to come. Give me strength to continue. Give me strength to keep on running, keep on fighting, keep on working, keep on serving. Give me strength. David reminded his people of the many blessings that they had received. The Lord gave them Canaan as their inheritance. He reproved kings of heathen nations for their sake and cleared the way for them in battle after battle. The Lord suffered no man to do them wrong, warning all to touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. David knew that God had given strength to his people. Where's God's people? God gave strength to his people. We are his sheep of his shepherd. We have a shepherd and we're the sheep of his pasture. And in this coming year, all we need to do is follow David's lead and ask the Lord for his strength. Don't wait for January the 1st to pray that prayer and ask God for strength. As you give the Lord thanks, you ought to ask God to give you strength. Give me strength for the battle. Give me strength to win. Give me strength to persevere. It won't matter what challenge you have to face. The Lord told Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for God? David's prayer of thanksgiving left nothing out. In fact, time would not allow us to cover it all, but allow me to close this message with David's words. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Glory and honor are in His presence. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And all the people of God said, amen. If you have food in your refrigerator, you owe God a praise. If you have clothes in your closet, you owe God a praise. If you have shoes on your feet, you owe God a praise. If you have transportation, you owe God a praise. If you have money in the bank, you have money in your wallet and spare change in a jar, you owe God a praise because you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthiest. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you owe God a praise. If you've never experienced the fear of battle and loneliness and imprisonment and torment, look at your neighbor and tell him, you owe God a praise. If you can hold your head up and smile, you're not the norm. You owe God a praise. You ought to proclaim his greatness. David said it like this. David gave thanks to God after winning his battle against the Philistines. But then we have to look at Miriam. Miriam, the oldest sister of Moses and Aaron, gave thanks to God while playing her tambourine and dancing with joy with the other women whom God saved from the Egyptians after they crossed over the Red Sea. You owe God a praise. Now let's look at Elizabeth before becoming pregnant with John the Baptist. Elizabeth was barren and long beyond childbearing age. Elizabeth was thankful that God took away her reproach among the people of Israel. And she proclaimed the greatness of God. And then there's a story of the leper healed by Jesus. There were 10 lepers who came to Jesus and asked him to heal them. Jesus sent them to the priest, and they were all healed along the way. Only one of the lepers returned. He returned and was grateful unto God. He was grateful unto God for healing him. He was a Samaritan who was considered to be a foreigner in Israel's sight. But he came back and said thank you. Let's look at Mary. Mary, in a beautiful song of praise known as the Magistin, gave thanks to the Lord for being chosen to bear the incarnate Son of God. Now let's look at Solomon. King Solomon, in his prayer of dedication for the temple, thank God for all he had done to provide for Israel. And then there was Hannah, who proclaimed God's greatness. Hannah gave a long prayer of thanks to God in 1 Samuel chapter 2 because God granted her petition for a son. Once Samuel was weaned, Hannah and her husband brought him to Eli, the priest, to be dedicated unto the Lord. You got to learn how to proclaim his greatness. Paul gave thanks to God for the believers in Philippi because of their partnership with him in the gospel. Look at your neighbor and tell him you ought to proclaim his greatness. You ought to proclaim his greatness. Jesus gave thanks to God before distributing the bread and fish to 5,000 people who came to hear him teach. You ought to proclaim his greatness. You ought to thank him even when you're in the valley. Look at your neighbor and tell him you ought to learn how to thank God for every valley. Thank God for every mountain. Thank God for every hill you had to climb. You ought to thank God. And then the scripture lets us know that we ought not wait until the battle is over, but you ought to give God praise in the midst of the journey, in the midst of opposition. You ought to give God praise right there. Thank him for your daily bread. Thank him for shelter over your head. Thank him for your friends and your family. Thank him. You live in a nation where we're able to worship God freely. And if you enjoy 3 meals a day, look at your neighbor and tell them, you owe God a praise. If food rarely makes you sick, you owe God a praise. And if you ever survived a car accident, look at your neighbor and tell them, if that's you, you owe God a praise. For diseases discovered in cancer you've never had, you owe God a praise. If you never need an ambulance to come and pick you up and take you to the hospital, you owe God a praise. If you never had a broken bone in your body, you owe God a praise. If you can walk, jump, leap, skip, look at your neighbor and tell him, you owe God a praise. That's why David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. For every autoimmune disease God kept you from, you owe God a praise. You owe him praise. You ought to thank God for his grace that is sufficient. You ought to thank God for every temptation that he kept you from, for every difficulty. You owe God a praise, for his grace is sufficient. You owe God a praise. Thank God for blessing you with a blessed hope. Thank God for keeping you. Thank God for preparing you. If he woke you up this morning, you owe God a praise. If he kept you in your right mind, you owe God a praise. Praise him because he's the creator of all things. He gives all mankind breath. He longs to endure in the presence of his people. You owe God a praise. When it comes to sin, he cleared your slate. You owe God a praise. He turned your weeping into laughter. You owe God a praise. He turned your mourning into dancing. You owe God a praise. You ought to bless him. Thank the Lord for his worth, for his riches in glory. He meets your needs. Give God praise. He offers us citizenship in heaven. You owe God a praise. He keeps you from danger, hurt, harm, and danger. Give God a praise. And then trust in him. Trust him through every trial. Trust him through every economic downturn. You ought to give God praise. Psalm 34:19 said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, he delivers us out of them all. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. But in all these things, look at your neighbor and tell him, in all these things, you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves you. More than a conqueror means that you're not just a mediocre, mundane conqueror, but you supersede conquering. That God has given you and I the wherewithal to make it. That you made it in the midst of obstacles in your life. You made it in the midst of turmoil. You made it in the midst of opposition. You're more than a conqueror. Why? Because you should have died in it. You should have given up, but God kept you in the midst of your storm. And not only did he keep you, but he allowed you to tunnel through it. Because he who has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Because you serve a God who is faithful, who he has been faithful to 1,000 generations, and he will continue to be faithful unto you. He is a God who is merciful. For we know that all things, look at your neighbor and tell him, we know that all things work together. Come on, tell your neighbor, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. All things are working together. In fact, everything that you've gone through this year has only worked together for your good. Why? Because you love the Lord and you've been called according to his purpose. God has called you. He's equipped you. He's strengthened you. He's strengthened you for the victory. You've been prepared for this. Uzzah was not prepared to carry the ark. And as a result, he was destroyed. But I come to tell you, you've been prepared for this. God has equipped you for this. He has equipped you to win. He's equipped you to obtain the victory. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It's working together for your good. We're standing all over the building. And that's why, church, even in the midst of difficult situations, you can lift up holy hands and give God praise. Why? Because you're already more than a conqueror. You didn't declare it. The Word declared it unto you. You belong to God. It's your word. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who loves you and has given His life for you. You are victorious. You already won. You already have the victory. One can chase a thousand, but two can put 10,000 to flight. And whenever God's people come together in settings like this for corporate worship, what you're doing is you are solidifying the word that God has already promised unto you. You're coming together. Why? Because the purpose of putting the tent, the purpose of David erecting the tent, was so that God's presence could be brought into the tent in order for corporate worship to be made possible. And when we come together for corporate worship, we come together on one accord. We come together in camaraderie and one spirit. The presence of the Lord manifests Himself. He shows up for His people. Because the people are present and they're eager to worship God. They're eager to praise God. They're singing praises unto God. They're praying prayers unto God. They're giving testimonies unto God. They're preaching unto God. And they're reaffirming the promises that God has already declared. And now His presence is able to come into the room. To heal, to deliver, to destroy yokes, to lift burdens, to set at liberty those who are captive. There is no freedom where there is no presence of God's Spirit. But when God's presence is in the room, things begin to happen. People get delivered. People get healed. But remember what the Word says. Your hands must be clean. Your heart must be pure. In order to handle the presence of the Lord. Remember what happened at Obed-Edom's house? Obed-Edom's whole house was blessed. The entire house was blessed. David got so excited, he said, "Let's get this Ark of the Covenant to the temple so that everybody can be blessed. That anyone who comes into the house of the Lord might receive the same blessing that took place at Obed-Edom's house." We ought not come into the house of God worried, depressed, sick, and leave the same way when the presence of the Lord is present. When the anointing of God is in the house, God's people ought to leave God's house changed. Because remember, the blessing is not in the world. The blessing is not out there. The blessing is in the house. And there was one thing that I read in the scripture in my studies that was very, very important to David. It was important that the altar was not separated from the tent, which represented the temple. It was vitally important that in the temple, there was an altar. And the altar represents God's people having a meeting place to come and meet with God. God's presence is here. And I invite anyone with a need, if you have a need, come to this altar and meet at this altar. Meet the Lord at the altar. Meet the Lord at the altar. Meet the Lord at the altar. David said, we cannot separate the altar from the temple. We cannot separate the altar from the temple. It's important. It's an important meeting place for God's people. And I want you to do one thing and one thing only. I want you to ask God for strength for the journey ahead. Ask the Lord for strength for the journey ahead. Come and meet God at the altar, the meeting place, and ask God for strength for the journey ahead. So God, we thank you for the people who have come seeking you for strength. We ask, oh God, that you would fill our cups to the overflow with your presence, with your anointing, with your Shekinah glory. Let your glory be revealed in us, not just in this house, but in our hearts. We need your glory. We need your presence. We need your anointing in this temple. So God, as we surrender our all to you, as we come to the altar of thanksgiving, the altar of worship, the altar of forgiveness, we come to you asking you for strength for the journey. Strength for the journey. And God, as we are here, we pray even for our unsaved loved ones. Because the main purpose of the altar is for soul winning. And for your word declares that out of all of your great creation, when we consider the celestial heavens, the universe, the sky, the sun, the moon, the beautiful water, the lavish green grass, you said in all its beauty, none of it compares to salvation, the altar of salvation. For the greatest gift in the entire Bible is salvation. God said, this is my free gift. I give to anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord. They shall be saved. And so, God, we give you praise right now. We give you praise for our unsaved loved ones coming to Christ. We thank you that they should have life in that more abundantly. We celebrate you for the victory over sin, the victory over temptation. And we declare and decree that we are victorious in and through Jesus Christ. We thank you for giving us strength. And with this strength, we're going to win more souls. Hear me clearly. You don't need this strength unless you're going to win souls for the kingdom of God. That's what this strength is all about. It's about soul winning. So I want you to lift your hands and say, God, give me strength to win souls. Give me strength to tell of your goodness, to declare of your greatness, to proclaim your wondrous works. Give me strength to tell others that Jesus saves. And that to the utmost. I heard that, Holy Ghost. You're going to be in contact with family members and friends this Thanksgiving. You may sit at the table with some who do not know Christ. I say to you, ask God, give me strength to say the right things to them, that I not offend them, but that I'm able to effectively lead them to Christ. Give me the strength. Give me the wisdom. Give me the comprehension to say the right things to them. Because how many know that the Holy Ghost does not offend? The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He does not offend. So God, give us what to say. Give us the right thing to say to our unsaved loved ones, to our unsaved friends, our unsaved neighbors. Give us the right things to say to draw them to Christ. Let me remind you that this altar is a sacred place. This is a sacred meeting place between God and His people. And so God, we bless Your holy name. We give You all the praise. We give You honor. We give You glory. Come on, put your hands together as you give thanksgiving unto God. As we proclaim His goodness, His greatness, let us continue to give gratitude unto Him. Not just during this season of Thanksgiving, but continually, always giving Him the praise. Giving Him thanks.